goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Moyne will try a long hit. What a goal from Moyne. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the big news tonight. Todd Ramos' contract will not be renewed by the Houston Dynamo and Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. This is a special edition Thursday night show. Today, we're going to take a deep dive on the Dynamo roster. We will have Pat Onstad, the Dynamo GM, on the show for an extended period of time in the second hour to do a long interview. We're going to touch on everything. Behind the glass is always the wonderful, the one and only Andrew Carlson, also the producer of The Wheelhouse. Andrew, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. It's been a wild few days in the world of the Dynamo, but look, there's a lot to get into, and I'm really excited to see what you and eventually what Eddie Robinson, who's going to be joining the program as well, have to say about it all.
Yeah, appreciate that, Andrew, and we're looking forward to tonight. Okay, so first off, I want to make something really clear about Tab Ramos. There are things that were good here. If you remember when we started in the MLS's back tournament, you were feeling very optimistic at that point. You were very optimistic when he was hired. I don't think there was any question about that. The under-20 connection. But the big question was always going to be, okay, now does this all translate to the professional level? We also have to factor in the prior years of ownership and leadership. So he was not stepping into a very, very easy situation here. Let's be brutally honest. We got to start being honest about this club, its past history, people that have been in key decision-making positions in the past. We have to be honest about this in order to put everything in a fair context. And if anybody gets upset about that, I'm sorry. I think the Dynamo fan is tired of kind of the smokescreen. They want serious, upfront answers, direction, vision, and the games to be over. And I'm telling you how I feel a lot, and I think sometimes people's passion can be mistaken for something else, right? We have had too many non-soccer people involved in this organization, and that is why it is great that Pat Onstad is going to be here, because now you got somebody on the competitive side that will speak up, that will be clear and concise with his vision. He's already made one very big move already here with Todd Ramos, who he has the highest respect for, I know from prior conversations. And I also want to just say Todd Ramos helped to lift the bar here from the perspective of culture and bringing back the idea of, hey, we all got to be kind of passionate about this game, including the front office. And I think we also have to liken his ability to want to include the academy and everything that's going on in the player development side. Some of the players he brought in didn't pan out for him quick enough. The players have responsibility in this. But I will tell you from a media perspective, as someone who worked with him every week, he is top class, first class. You know, you don't win a game in 16 and you're still coming on and answering any question that anybody asks you. That does not happen with a lot of the prior coaches. In fact, you know, was shut out by some of the prior coaches. That's not how you grow the game. Those are not people that are trying to help grow the sport. I'm sorry. Too protective. Maybe confidence is an issue. I don't know what it is. But there are not coaches. There are coaches that don't let you in. And in our case, Houston needs a GM that'll let you in. They need a head coach that will let you in because of where we are. We are at the bottom, okay? There's nowhere to go but up. And we're at the bottom not because of a little bit of bad luck or we've had an off year or two. We're at the bottom because we've been steered poorly. And we've been given smoke and mirrors. I'm sorry. It's too much about marketing over the last couple of years and not about investment. Now, we have a majority interest owner, Ted Siegel, who has promised the investment, 100% behind it. We got a GM that's going to speak out, 100% behind it. So I think things can turn around now, but this will not be an easy fix. I think everybody knows that. And first and foremost, you got to get the product back in a good place and prideful, because look, the last 2 years, been bottom of the Western Conference. Tab finished this year at 6-12-16, and his players overall 10-21-26. But again, absolute class act, up front, honest every day, even during the bad times. That tells you a lot about a human being. And we'll see where Tab lands in the future. He'll remain in coaching if in fact he wants to be. Okay, we can take some phone calls here in the first segment here. Let's go to Mike B. Mike B wants to talk about Tab Ramos. Mike.
I wanted Mike to B. first say thank you to him and the assistants as well, especially Omid Namazi as well, and the whole staff. You know, it's not easy when the tools aren't put in your hands to make a successful club and a successful run for the playoffs. And class act overall throughout everyone. And I wish them all the best in their next endeavor. Glenn, I love your show. I know you for years. Wishing you all the best as well. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think that's great there from Mike B. Martin Vasquez, Omid Namazi, all handling themselves well. And yes, look, you're going to see a turnover of this roster, and you're going to see more resources and investment. And he wasn't necessarily afforded that. He was afforded the opportunity to bring in other players, but you know, it has not worked, and it's results oriented. I assume that's what Pat Onstad will likely tell us when he's on the show. And we're going to do a longer interview with him. He's committed to a longer interview here tonight. So very excited about that. And look, Tab Ramos put out a tweet, which is wonderful here. He said, a big thank you to everyone at Houston Dynamo, all players, full staff, more importantly, to all the fans in this amazing city. Always made me feel at home. The staff and I gave it all we had and always represented you with pride. Wishing you all the best. So there it is from Tab Ramos. And onward he goes. Let's go to Michael. Michael, what do you have to say?
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, been a Dynamo fan since this club was in San Jose. I had a front row seat to the early days at the Rob, and it seems like the sun is rising on a new day for the club, and I'm here for it. The one thing about this club I've noticed for almost the past 10 years is that they play hard, but they don't always play angry, and there's a difference. To paraphrase a popular TV show, they don't run like they're trying to set the grass on fire with their boots. What we need in a new manager is someone who can light the fuse and make these guys play with a chip on their shoulder every match day and every day in training. And, you know, I'm gonna stop beating around the bush and just say it. I would love for Pat Onstad to name Eddie Robinson as the next head coach of Houston Dynamo.
All right, there you go. You'll get some fire from him, that's for sure. Well, Eddie's going to be on the show. We'll ask him if he wants to be the coach. All right, appreciate that from Michael. Again, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. The signing of the coach is going to be huge. It's going to have to happen pretty quickly. We'll ask Tab Ramos. We'll ask Pat Onstad about that tonight. We'll ask Pat Onstad about Tab Ramos. We'll talk to Pat about the structure that'll be in place, how they'll make decisions on players. So there's a lot of different things that we will get into here tonight. Again, my aim here is through this program is always to get people to express their opinion, discuss the roster and salaries. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to start taking this into overdrive, talk about roster salaries, who's lived up to it, play GM, and contemplate potential moves from the outside. This is all done, by the way, with complete respect to players and coaches and staff. But the reality is, this club has not been as transparent as it should have been. Tab Ramos brought some of that back. And why weren't they transparent? That's easily answered, I think. There was a lot of self-preservation, quite frankly, of jobs and positions. And nobody else will say it in this town, but I will. And that's the reason why you've gotten where you are. And to sit here every year and watch this and watch team people involved in the past in a professional soccer team and use it for their own interests first, to me is criminal. Honestly, it's criminal, and it has set this thing back remarkably. It was never sustained from the start. You could see it on its way down when we moved to the new stadium. You could see the lack of other things that should have been going on. People should have been working harder. People should have had a vision and a plan. People should have been talking about the seriousness and investing in player development in a city of 8 million people. To think that we have not produced enough players for the first team. And this is not bagging on any individual, so don't get your butt hurt. This is about what has happened in context. And a lot of people that come in and have gotten jobs in the Dynamo organization do not understand the context. They don't get it. They haven't done the work to understand it. And they come in from their perspective. So when they see that people might be a little bit upset or prideful or passionate, they find that it may be misguided. There's a tremendous amount of work to do in this community, but I am excited, as can be, that Pat Onstad, who is no nonsense, will come in here and change the culture from that perspective and add on to what Todd Ramos has done from the context of getting more youth involved and also now helping to kind of interface all the different parts of the organization. All right, so 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number if you do want to call in tonight here and you have something to say about Todd Ramos' contract not being renewed. We do have some sound from Adam Lundquist, but the big thing tonight will be going over the roster of this club, having some fun with that. Eddie Robinson and I will do that. Eddie's going to join us in the next segment. And then we will have Pat Onstad on the show. Eddie and I will do a couple segments together. And then we'll have Pat Onstad on, and I will take him through a long interview over a number of topics. So again, credibility to a fan base will come in many forms. And being open and truthful, I think, is a great way to gain long-term support from fans during the good and the bad times. And with that, this show will continue here tonight. It's a time of optimism. Pat Onstad, the new GM, and Ted Siegel, now the majority interest owner. Okay, so before we get into the next segment, there's a number of things to talk about on the roster. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on hold. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, what do you have to say?
Hey, man, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. With anything that catastrophic as the performance of the Dynamo, I guess, over the last several years, there needs to be a recognition at ownership level. GM level, and I guess I would ask you to ask Pat tonight, are they going to commit to doing an external review or an external party-led review of the club, be it the operations, the football performance, all of that, get a report, publish some of that once it comes in and take some action? I mean, it starts with that recognition, you know what I mean?
Oh, I think it starts with recognition. I think it starts with accepting some of the missteps of the past and looking to correct those. It also extends with getting the olive branch handed out in the community, continuing the newfound transparency that the past head coach, Todd Ramos, brought in. I think you're 100% correct that the lines of communication, the personal intimate connection has to be reestablished. I think Pat's a great guy to do that. I like your idea about that. And I would say the reason that didn't happen in the past is people weren't confident and didn't know the sport, frankly. And that's as blunt as I can be on it. And, you know, people get a little upset at me because I get a little bit blunt once in a while. Well, look at the attention we have right now talking about this game here, because there are people in this town that care. And unfortunately, we had a group of people that really, it was about their own preservation. It was about their own stuff. And it wasn't about the growing of a soccer club. So I like your idea very much.
Cheers, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Being up front, important. Let's go to Greg. Greg, what do you have?
Yeah. Yes, Glenn, I appreciate all your commentary and everything you do for the Dynamo. And I guess my question and comment was whether you thought Tab Ramos and his staff were kind of in over their head because they didn't have a lot of previous MLS experience, and that kind of showed in the dumpster fire of a season that we've had the past 2 years, and just wanted to get your thoughts on that and what your thoughts were on what the qualifications of the next coach should be.
Okay, so let's just start with this. One of the things I said on the show when Tab first got the job was extensive background at the under 20 level, very different than coaching a team day to day. So even he has admitted, and rightly, I mean, he's a realist. He said to me, he goes, look, you know, we're going to make some mistakes. This is a new thing. So he gets the pandemic, not the best way to start it. But I think a staff and a coach will always take responsibility if they're realistic. I think he's done that. He put out a tweet, and in the tweet he said, the staff and I gave it our all. It's not an easy league to understand. I mean, you saw Bruce Arena step into New England after Brad Friedel was there, right? And what did Bruce Arena say? Hey, I inherited a blank show, right? It's not an easy league to understand. I would say also that, you know, resources are something that are going to be moved in a better direction now from the new majority interest owner, Ted Siegel. I don't think past coaches have had that to the degree that you can say you're being competitive. You can pretend you're doing all these things. You can put out positive marketing. You can put out, you know, hey, we tried hard. But the people that are savvy are going to look at very, very closely investment, things that are being done off the field, they're not going to be fooled. And I felt like we had a lot of fool's gold being peddled our way over the last 8-9 years. And I think it's sad. It's where we are. But I think it's time to be optimistic and to move forward and to see where it goes here in the future. But I think we're off to a good start here. I think you got an owner that's a bright young guy. I think he's already made it very clear he's going to invest. He wants to compete. And you've got a general manager. I guarantee you that guy wants to compete. And Pat Onstad will be on the show tonight, so we'll talk to him. All right, we'll take a break. We got more to come here. It's Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Little real talk. You know what? Real talk's important. That's how we get this thing back in Houston. A little healthy pressure is a good thing. You know what? We'll ask Pat Onstad tonight. Where does healthy pressure fit in the future? Because we need it. You can't just expect to get it from your own organization. You got to reach out beyond it. We'll see. All right, we'll take a break. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors, Eddie Robinson, will join me in the next segment. We'll continue to take your calls. 713-780-3776.
Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, by the way, there's a new Burning Topics out, presented by the legendary Cactus Music. I want to remind you, hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. Also the same on Instagram. And as always, a big thank you to FM Kitchen and Bar, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, and our great friends down at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Just a little bit of a word of warning to Jake Asman, Cody Stutz, and BK Brad Kellner of the Wheelhouse. And this is concerning Andrew Carlson. Hey, guys, he was my friend first. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. All right. Welcome back to the show here. As always, we thank you for tuning in here tonight. Okay, the big news that just dropped before the show tonight around, I don't know, 5:45, I think it was. Tab Ramos' contract will not be renewed, and tonight we'll talk about that. We'll talk about more with Eddie Robinson. We're going to go over the roster and have some fun with that, playing general manager. But again, I want to give a real heartfelt thanks to Tab Ramos for all the time. And I'm going to just speak from a personal standpoint here. All the time that he gave me talking about the team before TV broadcasts, all the time that he gave coming on this show. He has set the bar higher for the next coach when it comes to communication and working with the media. And as you know, we had a lot of rough years with that. And when you don't have coaches that want to talk and engage, it makes it very, very difficult for people in TV. It makes it very, very difficult for people in any form of the media. But the crazy thing about it over the past years before Tab got here was, you know, here we were, a team that wasn't drawing anybody, and we were allowing our coach at the time, Wilmer Cabrera, to be a non-communicator, which is pretty bizarre. But anyway, water over the dam. We're moving forward here. We've got Pat Onstad later, and right now I bring the man on, Eddie Robinson. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you tonight?
All right, so somebody called in and already has put you up for the next head coach of the team.
I'm not sure that this is quite the time that I'd be wanting to be in that position right now, given all the things that need to happen in order for this team to turn it around and get back to the glory days. But I do want to thank everybody that's already called in. You know, Mike had a great question, a great statement, and just anybody listening right now, get on the phone, call in. We love hearing everybody's opinions. I know I do.
Yeah, and you absolutely do, and that is part of tonight. So part of tonight is the contributions of you, the listeners. We want you to be open, not be afraid to call into the show. Please do that if you can. All right, so, Eddie, let's first get your thoughts on Tab's contract not being renewed.
I mean, I really don't think anyone can say that they're surprised. I was probably about 50-50. If you had asked me what I thought prior to today, maybe Pat Onstad might want to give him one more chance, given his pedigree, given his honesty, given his attitude and effort over the last couple of years. Has been second to none, as you just mentioned. I thought maybe Pat might consider just giving him one more year with, you know, a few more resources, that is this, but Pat Onstad's not messing around. And I said this the other day after the press conference. Pat's a real nice guy. He's easy to get. Thinks that something's not good for this organization, he's going to fix it immediately. And he didn't waste any time with that. So I'm interested to see how quickly this continues to move.
Yeah, and again, we'll have Pat Onstad on in the second hour tonight. We're going to have Eddie sit in here for a couple of segments. And we're going to start to go over the roster here, and this is going to be very interesting, Eddie. Let me just read out some of the statuses of contracts so that our audience, and you have it in front of you as well, right? So
yes, sir.
Out of contract. Now, think about this when we're talking about a roster build that Pat Onstad is going to have to do. He's going to have to piece this together strategically. There's going to be some DP slots. Those are people that are going to have to produce. There's a lot of challenges for Pat, and a lot of this is going to have to happen quickly, including the hiring of a head coach. So you would have to think that Pat will have to make some player decisions on his own before a new coach is in place. But before Eddie and I get in on the roster, here's who's out of contract. Alejandro Fuenmayor, who's on $217,000 a year. Michael Nelson on 85, Boniek Garcia on 81, out of contract. One more year to go. You got Adam Lundqvist at 372, Memo Rodriguez at 291, Zarek Valentin at 280, Tim Parker at 1.1 million, Mateo Bahamich at 324,000. Option years for these guys. Now this doesn't mean they're not coming back, but what it means is people can renegotiate. And the club renegotiates. Option year for Marco Maric. Option year for Maxi Arruti, by the way, on 1.27. Marco Maric on 513,000. Fafa Pico on 500,000. Minor Figueroa, 157,000. Marcelo Palomino, 66,000 at Charlotte. Nico Lemoine, 66,000. Tyler Pasher, 157. Darwin Seren, 245. Quintero, 1.35 million. Probably not going to see him again. Griffin Dorsey, 129,000. 1,000. Eric McHugh, 81, who's on loan, Charleston. Sam Junka, 81. Kyle Morton, 81,000. Coco Karaskia, it's listed in the MLS Players Association at 469, but he's loan. The guaranteed players are Ari Lassiter, Ethan Bartlow, Teenage Hadebe, who's at 1.1 million, Derek Jones, 182,000, Matias Vera, 356,000, Ari Lassiter, 240, and then a couple guys I don't know their terms, Corey Barrett at 369, Joe Corona, 290, Ian Hoffman at 63. Now, before I bring in Eddie, the average salary in the league now, the average salary in the league is $398,725. There has been an exponential growth in the average salary of this league in the last 4 years, 5 years. 2016, it was $191,000. So it's jumped up to almost $400,000 now. It's almost doubled in 5 years. So those are just some interesting things to think about when we factor in. Eddie, let's start with the goalkeeper position. You got Michael Nelson. You got Kyle Morton. And you've got Marco Maric. Your thoughts on the goalkeeping position?
Well, to be honest, Glenn, and I've said this on a couple of our broadcasts, with the injuries to Marco Maric this season, with all the goals the team has given up over the last couple of years, I do not think that any goalkeeper for this team has really stepped up and said, this is my position. Now, Morton has only had the one opportunity in the last minute, and you understand that. But Michael Nelson has had quite a few games now this last third of the season. And while he's been pretty good, he hasn't been outstanding. And when you look around the league and you look at all the teams in the playoffs, their goalkeepers are outstanding, right? When you look at the teams at the top of the Western Conference, you got Stephen Fry in Seattle. You've got Tim Melia in Kansas City. You've got proven shot stoppers that just pop up and make big saves at big
moments. You got William Yarbrough, Eddie, in Colorado, who the Dynamo negotiated before Marco Maric.
It's, you know, and this is, and maybe this is, you know, if you're a Dynamo fan, this is maybe the situation you're most excited about with Pat Onstad, who's one of the most decorated goalkeepers in Major League Soccer history. He certainly knows what he's doing when he looks at goalkeepers. I think there's a good opportunity here to just pick one of these guys and let one of them go and try and see if you can't spend a little bit more money and bring in a very, very class goalkeeper. I certainly don't think the Dynamo could go wrong there.
Now, on a numbers perspective, just because that's going to mean a lot, Marco Maric is on $513,000. He's making far more than both Kyle Morton and Michael Nelson combined. So if you were trying to save money against the cap, that's something to factor in there. All right, let's go to defenders. I think it's pretty clear, Eddie, that the money has been spent on Teenage Adebe and also Tim Parker. Seems like Adam Lundqvist is the incumbent at the left-back position. What do you think about, let's say this is a back four, what do you think about the Dynamo defensively?
I think Sam Junka has been really good over the last few weeks of the season. He started out a few good games at the beginning of the season. He had a little rough patch, but for a young player like him to come into Major League Soccer and make this transition and mature as quickly as he has, I cannot see any possibility where he's not in the mix for that left fullback position. He's going to give, as long as Parker and Hadebe can stay healthy, he's going to give Adam Lundqvist all he can handle in a fight for that first position at left back. As far as right back goes, Ian Hoffman has played quite a few games. You've seen Zarek Valentin. He's been on the bench. He's been on the sideline, but he's never looked like participating. So it's going to be interesting to see what Pat Onstad thinks he's going to do there. Is Zarek Valentin good enough? Does he bring enough to the table as he gets a little bit older? I'm not so sure. I think that's a position that the Dynamo really look hard at this season. And something that Todd Ramos said, and even though, you know, the team has parted ways with him, Pat Onstad would probably agree that there just needs to be more athleticism at the outside fullback positions for the Houston Dynamo, getting up and down, being good 1v1 defensively, but really getting into those dangerous spots in the attack and getting balls in the box.
Yeah, I think that's one
there
thing
just wasn't
you have to
enough
look
of that
at
this year.
Yeah, Adam Lundqvist gets forward quite well. There just never seems to be any end product on the delivery, and that could be for a variety of reasons, which we can't get into now because we're going to hit a break. Sam Junka is versatile. I don't think there's any question. He is 24 years of age. I would say his sophistication in the final third is something that likely has to improve. Now, remember Griffin Dorsey. Tab did tell us, Eddie, that Griffin could potentially be a right back in Major League Soccer, but... those are the outside back position, I think, is one you got to really take a real long, hard look at because there is a future opportunity there. You got to have good outside backs in the game that can go box to box. I think Lundqvist physically definitely can do that. Junka can. But the money has been paid to Teenage Adebi, who's been excellent, and also to Tim Parker. So the center back position there, it seems pretty locked in. We'll come back. We'll begin to talk about the middle third. It's Glenn Davis, Eddie Robinson, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 here. It is your home for soccer coverage, by the way. 713-780-3776. Anything you don't like that we say or you have a differing opinion or you want to contest this, please call 713-780-3776. Trying to stir it up here and get people talking about the game here in Houston in a bigger way and about your Houston Dynamo. Phone lines are open, 713-780-3776. Big thank you to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Jan Christensen, Danish Dynamite, they call them. Get over to Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture on Fondren. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Here's Mané. There's some big calls in the first game. Alexander-Arnold's drive. Mané! No flag. Liverpool lead by 2-0.
First off, anybody who can call in and name the name of this song in the group, all right. When we get into next season, I'll give you a four-pack of tickets. I'm just curious if anybody actually knows this song. That was Sadio Mane and Liverpool beating Atletico Madrid. The Champions League did go on today. We're back with Eddie Robinson. We're talking Houston Dynamo. Eddie, let's begin to talk about the midfield. How about just some general comments on the Dynamo, the midfield this year from you?
For the most part, defensively, the Dynamo were good. They have been. When you have Darwin Serén and Matias Vera being the midfield generals, they're going to break up a lot. They're going to do well defensively. But for so many years, for too many years, the Dynamo just haven't had that number 10. They tried with Tomas Martinez. Then they tried recently with Coco Carrasquilla, and it just seems like nothing worked. Manuel Rodriguez played in there a little bit, and to give Darwin Quintero a little bit of credit when he finally got back in regularly, but it was just too many games for him. At his age, he can't play three games a week for four consecutive weeks. It's just, it's not feasible. And you saw him get tired, but when he was in there right at the beginning, when he was fit and he was healthy and he was confident, unstoppable, but that was just for maybe two or three games. So that's a huge, huge, if not the top priority, the second top priority behind a center forward for the Dynamo this offseason.
Yeah, they're going to need game changers. So let me just context this, though. You have to remember, this is a non-playoff team. I'm not talking to you, Eddie. I'm putting this out there. We have to put this in context. Right. When we say excellent and great and because this team hasn't made the playoffs one time in 8 years. As a matter of fact, if we add in the dash, it's one playoffs in 15 seasons. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here, but we have to understand where we're coming from now. And when we say things, we have to say it in the context of that. Darwin Serén, Matias Vera. I don't think Matias Vera can be a six on his own. I think the Dynamo need a very dominant midfielder that is a little bit deeper in order to bring the best out of Matias Vera. You know, you look around the league, and there are just some defining holding midfielders. Not many of them can play that position on their own. I agree with you 100%. You're going to have to find a playmaker. It's interesting because last night after the game, I don't know if you saw the post-game quotes, Eddie, Memo Rodriguez made a real push towards saying, you know, hey, I haven't, you know, really been able to play as a 10 and in the middle. And you know, he did get an opportunity. I thought that was a little off. He had a lot of opportunity from Tab Ramos, especially when Darwin Quintero was out, to play in the 10 and didn't produce.
I agree.
I'm not in agreement with that, and I don't know if he can be your 10, quite frankly. That's a position where huge money is spent. On another note, I would bring in Darwin Quintero because, you know, look, you and I were not down at practice this year. Then next year, hopefully that's going to change, you know, due to a lot of things. But, you know, we're not seeing it every day. But what we do know is this. What I do know is this. I went to preseason games. Darwin Quintero didn't look fit. He didn't look interested. I'm sorry. He didn't. He was a Matt Jordan signing. He is a wonderfully talented soccer player. Incredible skills. We saw it against Seattle, right? Everybody got crazy. And why wasn't he playing? Well, we don't know the full answers, but I can tell you this to factor into your decision-making. He wasn't ready to go, and he wasn't fit. Now, you can say a coach should just try to build around that, but you can't play with guys that aren't going to defend so in a pressing system. So early in the season, I said, Darwin Quintero, Memo Rodriguez, keep an eye on these two guys going into this next season because things are going to change. Now, we also know Tab you know, has to work now with this personality and type of guy. So everything Quintero did was after the fact. And also remember how he left Minnesota. He left Minnesota for some of the similar complaints here. He got reshaped into a designated player here by Matt Jordan. And then that's what we got. I don't think that was a very good signing because at that point, I'm not building my team in the future around a 32-year-old playmaker that we're going to make a DP. I don't know what you think about it.
No, I think absolutely not. And, you know, you were talking a few minutes ago about context. Well, one way to do that and one way to put everything in context is you think if you went down this entire roster, the way we've got it laid out of contract, one more year, option year and guaranteed, you say this is a poor player, a below-average player, an average player, an above-average player, or a great player. Now, remember, you're ranking those underneath the fact that this team has finished the bottom of the Western Conference 2 years in a row. So if you're an average or an above-average player on the worst team in the Western Conference, where does that really leave you? And I think that's the thing that Pat Onstad is going to have some trouble with because he can't go and change 20 players. But there's got to be some big overhaul, and that's something that he's got to put in perspective and context for himself, as we all do when we're discussing the media, the fan base, that you've got a lot of guys that are average on a poor team.
You absolutely just nailed it right there because we're not comparing them to everybody else on the team. We have to compare them to the best teams in the league to find out how far away we are. And I think you just laid that out absolutely beautifully. We're talking with Eddie Robinson here, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Just a reminder again, a little bit later on, we will have Pat Onstad, the new Dynamo General Manager, on. Everybody's very excited about that. I know I am personally, Eddie. And you having played with him and shared a locker room with him, you know, take us a little deeper into the persona of the man. We know he's a high competitor. We know he's no nonsense. I mean, you and I, we had an opportunity to interview him on the pregame show last night, and you know the answers just came back quick, confidently. There was no messing about.
Well, you know, I got the opportunity for those that didn't see the pregame show to ask that about something that Ted Siegel's talked about a bunch in almost every interview he's done since taking over as majority owner, and that's winning culture. Winning culture doesn't just come down to winning games. It comes down to the small things, the little things. You keep the locker room clean. You keep players in order. You clean up after yourself after you've had lunch at the end of training and you leave trash all over the locker room. How do you treat your flight? How do you dress on your flight? How do you treat the people that are on your flight? How do you treat the people that work at the hotel that you're staying at when you're on the road? How do you treat yourself when you're on the road? All of these little, tiny, itty-bitty things. When you get in the habit of making those a priority, that carries over to the soccer field. And once that starts carrying over to the soccer field, the little things about marking on set, we saw that the other night, didn't we? About making runs, about picking the right pass, about fighting for 90 minutes, about, you know, it's cliche, but leaving it all out there. That's what Pat was a part of. And he didn't need to explain that to his teammates. His teammates needed that. They saw that when they came into the locker room. He has to reestablish, and it's not just within the team itself. It's within the academy. It's within the front office. And Pat's going to do that. He's not going to put up with anyone's crap. If something is not good, and I've said this before, and I'll say it probably 50 more times, if he thinks something is to this team or this organization, he ain't going to put up with it. He's going to speak up. He's going to put his foot down, and he's going to make sure that this team is in the right spot to succeed, and I love that.
Lucas tweets and says, our academy is strong, maybe a couple of years too early for Tab to be our coach in a city that has become apathetic to its MLS team. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I think you have to explore the reasons why they're apathetic to the MLS team, and I would say the way it's been run in the past. And you know, you're not putting a good product out. You're not showing people you want to win. You're not showing people you want to be competitive. You're going all out on marketing, and that's all you're doing. People are going to be apathetic. These are wise soccer fans in this city, and I hope that rings loud and clear throughout Houston, Texas tonight and to those in decision-making positions. There are educated soccer people here that have sadly been disrespected, and that's why they don't come to the stadium anymore. So that's a big part of the turnaround again, Eddie, and that culture, I think, has to go to the front office as well. I think that's on and off the field. I think it's, you know, that's something, you know what, you just gave me an idea. We'll ask Pat Onstad tonight about the interfacing of all the different levels of the club and how much of that there'll be, because I think in the past, we've seen some things being operated on an island, not necessarily in this moment now, but prior to John Walker coming and prior to Tab coming. It was very, I don't know. We've been in and around it.
Well,
it's got to improve.
You know,
it's got to improve. And there's a lot of good people there, too. I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but you don't get to where we are now without, you know, some people just not being good enough, quite frankly.
Yeah, and until the organization starts to realize where its roots are, remember where the roots are, because when I was playing and we were successful and Pat Onstad was here, our roots were blue-collar fan base because we weren't making this kind of money. We went out every day and we left it on the field. We fought, we did our job, and people could relate to that. And that's what this city is made of, an extremely ethical, diverse group of people who go out every day and work, and they want to come and see the same thing from their sports teams. The attitude, the hustle, this is my job, I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to pay homage to those that come and support us. And once we get back to supporting that blue-collar fan base, that's when that stadium is going to fill up again.
713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number if you have a take. How do you feel it'll come back? If you're a fan out there, what do you want to see from, you know, Pat Onstad and the future of this club and Ted Siegel? I think you got to be feeling pretty positive when it comes to those two gentlemen right now. The owner has made it very clear that there will be an additional spend on resources both on and off the field. They mentioned some changes at the stadium as well. So that's good. All right, let's go to the striker position. Well, wait, let's go back. Eddie, let's go back. Guaranteed contract. I think you and I were high on the potential of Derek Jones. He faded this year, which was disappointing to me. He's on $182,000. Other midfielders of note, we mentioned Marcelo Palomino is at the Charlotte Independents, has had a good season there, 6 goals. He's a Dynamo Academy guy. He's on $66,000. Do you see him being brought back to the team and a part of the solution to the future?
I think it would be a big problem if Marcelo Palomino were not in training every day and were not being given an opportunity, because I think he is one of the players for the future for this Dynamo team. He should absolutely be involved. When it comes to the guaranteed contracts, Ethan Bartlow, that's Generation Adidas, so he doesn't even count towards the salary cap. You got Teenage, you got Mateus Vera. Those guys are obviously very key to this team. But with Derek Jones and Ari Lassiter, I mean, neither have shown quite that much this season as far as guaranteed contracts go. So, you know, next season being their final ones, I believe, they're really going to have to come out in preseason and push hard to be a part of this team, because, you know, and I'm extremely optimistic about what the relationship between Pat Onstad and Ted Siegel is going to do to bring in players in those positions to compete and make this team better. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds.
When I look at who's in their option year and who's out of contract, we're talking about 17 or 18 places. I think you'll be able to buy down some of the players that are making over $1 million. I mean, are you going to bring Maxi Arruti back at $1.27 million after 7 goals? Started off like a house on fire with 6 goals, incredibly efficient with the chances he was getting, and then just hit an absolute nosedive until he hit that incredible swiveled volley. But I think, to your point, you got to begin to look at somebody with the tendencies of an out-and-out center forward.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear anybody justify to me that Maxi Arruti should be bought back for over $1 million towards the cap hit. Well, not towards the cap hit, but that's where you're going to have to use allocation money. And then, you know, if you look at, you know, another option, and the option to buy was Coach Castilla, and he's on $470,000. What people also have to understand, and a lot of people don't realize, is the Dynamo are going to have to pay a transfer fee. So just for the sake of math, let's say the transfer fee is $900,000 for the 3-year contract. You can amortize that transfer fee, but it does count towards the salary cap. So another $300,000 a year takes him up to almost $800,000. How can you justify that for me? You can't. So
no,
I think there's probably some in that
it.
Category. Yeah, so
yeah.
I think...
And
so,
Max Cerruti, you know, by the way... A tremendous professional, no question. And nobody's talking about his desire and conviction. But I think you need an out-and-out real center forward now, not sort of a false nine, not a floater. That's probably the next step. I mean, the amount of delivery we see skid through the box and nobody finishing it, it's something to think about anyway. We don't have all the answers. We're just bantering it about with you. We want your... comments at 713-780-3776. Without a doubt, Fafa Pico earned every bit of his $500,000 leading the team with 11 goals. Let's take a break. It's Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Eddie Robinson in the house with me here. We're going to do one more segment. Then we're going to bring on Pat Onstad. We'll probably talk a little bit more about the goalkeepers, but we want you to call in. So this is your time now in this next segment. 713-780-3776. Agree, disagree, have a take. Where's the future for Houston Dynamo Soccer? It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll take your case, work 24-7 for you nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com, the number 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Satisfaction.
ESPN 97.5.